God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, Romans 11, 23 and 24. We're going to redo this because you know why. If you've been here, you know why. All right, let's take the customary time to remember what we need to remember, and that is we are, as positive believers, completely dependent on the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to enlighten us and inform us with regard to the particulars of this great plan that we are privileged to be a part of in time and forever and ever. So let's take the usual time to get in fellowship, stay in fellowship, and benefit from the information that God has seen fit to put in and preserve in His Word. Let us pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we know for sure that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We thank You that by Your grace and mercy, we are not in that crowd. We have been provided with the truth so that we can, as believers in Jesus Christ, excel and reap the benefits in time and eternity. Bless this Bible class to that end, in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. I entitled this, The Possibility of Grafting in the Natural Branches. It's a kind of an interesting back-and-forth situation. Israel falls out of favor, but not in the sense of permanent. Israel is still, on hold. They are still the chosen people. They are still chosen by God, even though many, many of them end up unsaved. God is still perpetuating that race and preserving them for their future when they will come to their senses. A generation of them will come to their senses, turn away from their long-standing repudiation of none other than their Messiah and Savior, Jesus Christ, right down to this day. Accepting those Jews, of course, that didn't go along with the mainstream, the crowd, Jewish Christians of the church age, notwithstanding, the branches were broken off of this olive tree. This is the whole figure in this whole thing. We're trying to stick with it. This is the domestic olive tree, and the root system represents the origins of Israel and the chosen race phenomena, which goes back, of course, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the three patriarchs that got the ball rolling, so to speak, that God used, that were great believers, set up this and got this race rolling forward to nationhood and beyond. So, but they got into, corporately, they got into serious as you can get, spiritual trouble. Somehow, somewhere along the line, they rebelled against the scripture that they, on the one hand, say they uphold, but they didn't uphold it, because they repudiated all the messianic prophecies that referred to the suffering coming Messiah, Jewish Messiah, and their repudiation of Him. It's right there in black and white. And along with all the other stuff, their dispersions was a result of their failure in the land. And the last one, the restoration period awaited the rapture generation, and they came back and they're there, but they are not believers. They believe in God. They say the Old Testament is the Word of God. They praise it. They talk high of it. They quote the Scriptures. I'm basing this on the information I get from that 365 site, Israel News. They had a couple of interesting ones today. The one that was interesting to me today is that the terrorism acts against the Jews have increased 300% from last year to this year, and they still have 1 month to go. Over 220 attacks by the jihad, the names of those groups that are escounded in Palestine or the Palestinian Authority along the Gaza Strip. In other words, they shelter these people and encourage these people to do the kind of things that they do. When is it going to come to a head? Israel has exercised a tremendous amount of restraint with regard to this. But something's got to give. So the Jews are back in the land, and again, by their own prophets that they speak highly of. They would never say anything derogatory about an Ezekiel or a Jeremiah, certainly not a Moses or Isaiah. And it's in the prophets that God would return them from where he scattered them and bring them back incrementally to the land in spite of circumstances. And he would do this in spite of the fact that they were not in a spiritual recovery and merit it in that way, like the Babylonian Jews did from that one return from Babylon. They were believers and they did it right. But these who are returning to land now are unbelievers. It's just that simple. You can put on say all the nice things about God, all the nice things about the Abrahamic covenant and the Old Testament in general, etc., and then you throw this out. It's like studying human anatomy and not studying the brain or something, or the heart, the center of the circulatory system. I mean, it's crazy that they can do that and be blind and stay that way. But a lot of people are just what they are. They're herd bound. They're looking around, seeing what people around them think. You're gonna break from your ancestors. You're going to break from everybody around you and say, no, Jesus Christ is our Messiah. Period. And there are those that do, but those that they haven't done it in mass yet. But this is coming. So what we have is Israel flops so bad that God has to replace them with another people. But the replacement doesn't mean that Israel does not have a chance to be grafted back in. And that they will be. So, and they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. So what the setting aside, the breaking off, and then the grafting in, obviously it's a different set of Jews because all this time, but they will be grafted back in because there will be enough of them to merit this reestablishment. For if, first class condition, you were cut off. Now, you got to keep your antecedents straight here. You don't even know what's going on. For if you were cut off, you being Gentile believers, for if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, one that grows out in the wild, like certain plants do, that produce certain fruits and things. That this is a wild strawberry, for instance, or whatever it is. We used to go pick them up in the Black Hills of South Dakota on the side of mountains. So this is a wild olive tree. These Gentiles that came on board, like the Roman Christians, they were brought up on a wild olive tree. And they were grafted in to this domestic olive tree. In other words, they have the same spiritual root source as Israel had. We have that same source. And it goes back to that root system which is represented by the patriarchs and what they contributed and the covenants made with them. Where would we be without the Abrahamic covenant? That's not just for Jews. It is for Jews, but it was in Abraham's seed that all nations of the earth could have the potentiality of being blessed, because the Savior was for all mankind. And certainly, this is manifest in the grafting in. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and were grafted in contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, you don't do this in horticulture. You don't take an inferior plant and graft it into a superior plant. That isn't done. But in this case, we'll have an exception in the analogy. How much more will these who were the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? So that brings us full circle. Full circle. The age of Israel ends. Israel is set aside. The door is still open for individual Jews to get on board in the church age, obviously. But Israel is set aside, and the Gentile Christians become the preeminent nation or chosen people of God. We are the chosen. We are the elect. We are the representatives of God before the masses. That's what our job is, in part, is to represent who and what Jesus Christ is, who and what the Word of God is, before our fellow man as God gives us opportunity to do so. One, the discussion using the figure of grafting wild branches into a domestic natural olive tree comes full circle. This is very simple. Israel was put on earth to represent God in a pagan world, to be a light to the nations. That's what they were there for. The temple was open for visitors to come. If there was any significant positive volition out there, they could travel to Israel. In the case of the Assyrians, God sent Jonah. I don't know how many times he'd sent a prophet from Israel to a pagan nation, but he didn't send them out there like, we're just going to go out here and spin our wheels. There had to be positive volition there. That was an exception to the rule among the Gentiles, as far as I know, the biggest exception that I have that is documented. But there is a psalm dealing with people coming from different nations, and this Jesus said, this is a house of prayer for all nations. It isn't just an exclusive to Jewish worshipers. This is the house of prayer for all nations. If people out there are fed up and tired of the pagan mess, they can come and hear the plan of God in the Jewish temple, Solomon's and so forth. The doctrinal argument is, if the natural branches can be removed from an olive tree, a domestic olive tree, then natural branches can be grafted into the same tree, grafted back in. Paul asserts in verse 23 that if corporate Israel, that is a significant number of Israelites, come out of their unbelief, then God can and will graft them back into the same tree with that dynamic root system represented by the promises and covenants given to the patriarchs. Now the Jews today will say, oh, we honor the Abrahamic covenant and God promised this land to us. And they're all correct in that, but they miss that part of the Abrahamic covenant that promises that in the seed of Abraham all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And that's his descendant, Jesus Christ. That's the part they didn't get, or they dropped by the wayside. If God's gracious action in the reception of the wild branches into the cultivated olive tree, quote unquote, is acceptable, then all the more is the grafting in of the natural branches, born again Jews, into the same tree. Note the force of the words grafted into their own olive tree. Their own olive tree. Not some other tree. Not some other... But that one. So, sixth, the analogy serves to allow accepting Israel again in her forfeited role as a priest nation to the nations. Seven, this will officially be the case with the onset of the day of the Lord. It'll take full manifestation in the millennium. In the millennium, Israel will be with Jesus Christ. He will be on earth. And those Jews who are brought into the millennium and survive the trib as believers, the unbelievers will be removed like unbeliever Gentiles that survive the 7 years. And the believer Gentiles will start up new nations. They'll pioneer a new effort. There won't be a lot of them. We hit the 8 billion mark, they say. I don't know who's keeping tabs. But we hit the 8 billion mark on the earth. And by the end of the tribulation, I will make mankind as scarce as the gold of Ophir. It's kind of like a harbinger of the flood. All these people wiped out, and there's 8 people. And only 6 of them are going to start up these nations. And by the Tower of Babel episode and beyond that, the initial startup where there were 70 nations. Now there's been many split offs and various numbers. But that process after that great flood of killing off all these people that wouldn't listen to Noah, that refused to abide by him, I can appreciate him more than ever now. What was it, 120 years working on this ark with his sons? That is not some rinky-dink boat. This is massive, the wood and everything. And all that physical labor, well, obviously God gave him the skills and the wisdom to put it together. And when the time came, they got on board with all those animals, all those juveniles, all those animals in their, you know, teenagers or little ones. They all got on there by twos, and God took the main door, the ramp, and slammed it shut and put a special sealant on it. And away we go. And after the flood was over and it hooked on one of the ridges in Mount Ararat, everybody disembarked. And here we are, 8 billion people. And he's going to do this again. He's going to eliminate, he's going to give everybody, get this, he's going to give everybody on this earth a gospel hearing. They can't avoid it in their own language, everywhere. And then more evangelism after that. So people will be without excuse. Those that survive as unbelievers will be baptized in fire, Jewish or Gentile. The believing Jews and the believing Gentiles will be encouraged to inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You talk about a new world order. It's hard to wrap your head around it. So much is going to be changed. The whole animal world, the whole topography, That's part of the physical part of it. It's all in the prophets. But there will be nations, and nobody will be allowed to pursue any kind of organized crime. Individual crime will be suppressed. You can be an unbeliever. You can be a dummy. You can sit there and refuse to believe, even with all the evidence of rubbing shoulders with people in their resurrection bodies and seeing all this and hearing all this. And there'll still be negative people. But that's another story. That's another mind blower. Right there. You think if you give some people enough evidence, they'll come around. Well, we know that isn't true anymore, don't we? We know we could lay things out, even to Christians, and show them this and this. they got a hearing problem and an eye problem, spiritually speaking. This doesn't resonate with them. What resonates with them is the cosmos. That's the tune they march to. What's out there in the cosmos? It's always been that way. But when you get a positive person stepping up, a genuine one, then that's something different. That's special. Don't be intimidated by the masses. Eight, Israel once again enjoy her place under the covenants given to the fathers. Nine, well, there's the Abrahamic, there's the Davidic, and there's the new covenant to Israel. We might have an opportunity to make mention of that one. That's the one that basically says that when you are established under the Lord in the millennium, you will all be believers and you will all be positive. And there will be no exceptions. That's hard to imagine. With Jewish history going on through time, you expect a bunch, millions of Jews, pick a point in Old Testament history and so forth, you expect there's going to be unbelievers. The Jews brought salvation to the world in the person of Jesus Christ. For all their ups, all their downs, everything, the line of Christ stayed firm. Satan attacked it before the flood, didn't work, tried to contaminate it with angelic DNA. And then he used that paranoid guy called Herod to try to wipe out the babies in Bethlehem. There couldn't have been very many. But God got Jesus and his family out of there and sent them off in for a brief period of time to exile into Egypt. I think that may not be the only time Christ was out of country. I mean, before his resurrection, of course. I think he probably was out of country when Satan took him up on a high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world. A very high mountain. And there isn't any very, very high mountains in Israel. There are mountains. Mount Hermon. Yeah, that's high. They got a ski resort, ski lift. We went up to the top of it. It's because we could. 10, it must be emphasized that it is the same tree with the same rich root system. Our spiritual heritage as believers. This works against all Gentile Christians who try to poo-hoo the Jews and we're in and that's it for them. That doctrine is a false doctrine. They didn't read this chapter, huh? It's another one of those examples. It was right there in front of you. You're believers, but you are saying that God is finished with Israel and all the promises to Israel are fulfilled in the church and that's it and blah, blah, blah. They tend to be anti-dispensational, Calvinistic, deny that there's any significance to. See, this is amazing. There's any significance to the rebirth of the Jewish state and the Jews in Israel and coming back from the nation. And they can read the same things we can. But it's a mindset. It's a culture. They're raised up in it. They're not genuine seekers. Are they so, Pastor, what's this? Away we go. The evangelical church, I don't know what degree it was or wasn't, should have been falling all over itself when Israel was declared a nation back in 1948. They should have been all over those scriptures. There probably were those that were, but the majority, no. I even saw it in Baraka. There wasn't a big emphasis on this. There was not, as I recall, to the best of my ability. And pointing out and making a big deal, which it is a big deal, making a big deal about the rebirth of national Israel after 70 years and clearing the air. Now in the Old Testament, the Jews were told, if I have to kick you out of the land, here's how you get back. you repent of your sins and turn back to me and my plan in captivity, and I'll bring you home. That happened once. 70 years of exile in Babylon. And they restarted their nation from scratch because it was a wreck. It was a wreck. Everything was a wreck. It languished for 70 years. And when they came back this last time, they were working on it before then, but it was a wreck. It was absolutely what the Bible said. It's going to languish for lack of a caretaker. It's my land. And Gentiles who are more than competent to take a place that has the potential that this land has and bring it to life were not allowed to do so. None of them. The Turks, whoever the others were, you know, the Crusades went down there, but, you know, that's just a joke. They're going to reclaim the Holy Land for Jesus. This is, you know, sponsored by the Catholic Church, of course. And all these wasted lives and people, pilgrimaging back at that time, and to go to the Holy Land and drive the infidel out. They weren't mandated to do that. And it ended just like everything else. It's a big fiasco. Makes for some interesting reading, maybe, but it didn't glorify God. None of it. People marching, walking long distances. And then the knights and all that and the fighting and all that went on. It's all just, you know what it is. They followed the Bible, they wouldn't be falling for this. They'd be saying, we're just waiting when God decides to reestablish the Jewish nation in a state of unbelief. Because God is tired of the bad mouthing that's been going on in the nations. Oh, the promised land. Oh, yeah. And our leaders and everyone still do not accept that this is the promised land for Israel, including the Gaza Strip, and way beyond what the Jews hold. So there's this big argument over Samaria and all the other parts of it. And God is against those who will divide up my land. We're waiting to see that change. So anyway, I was going to throw in one other thing that I got out of 365 News, not related to this, but they say the Euphrates is drying up. The Tigris-Euphrates River Valley is drying up. You can Google or whatever you want to do on it. See if this is in 365 News. The Euphrates is drying up. Now, when I went to school, that river system established what is called the Fertile Crescent. It was because of the waters of that river system that dumps off into the Indian Ocean. I don't know, they even teach geography in school anymore. You know, people couldn't find some of these countries on a map with a gun to their head. But that's the collapse of our educational system. But that valley, and that ran down through there, great civilizations through there, because they had all this water, and so what if there's desert all around? It's like the Nile in Egypt. Without the Nile, Egypt would have never been a superpower. Now, it's in a bad shape today for other reasons. But it's going to be one of the three great nations in the millennium. And I haven't figured out the chronology yet, but Egypt's got to go through 40 years of exile and hell. Well, that would take you into the millennium. So I haven't worked all that one out, but there is a prophecy on that. But the three preeminent nations in the millennium are all connected land-wise, pretty much. Egypt, Israel, and the resurgence of Assyria. And how many Syrians are on the earth today? Not very many, but there are some that have survived down through time. And they generally identify themselves as Christians. So I told you they were the food tasters for Saddam Hussein. He liked them. Where are you going to go to work today? Oh, check Saddam's food to see if there's any poison in it. Hope to see you tonight. So again, it's the same tree with the same root system. The patriarchal root is never uprooted for another tree. The how much more of verse 24 serves to highlight the desirableness of reinstating Israel in her role as the priest nation. But it's a waiting game, and you have to wait until a certain group appear on earth who turn positive. And they will. And that'd be a lot of fun to watch. When a whole bunch of American Jews get it together. I'll give you scripture later. From the prophecies and from Jeremiah and so forth, where there is the prophecy of Israel immigrating back to Israel. And it is a big deal, and they're vocal, and it is in the news. It is really a big deal. Not to mention the other peoples in the United States who will get out of here. So they can be in the geographical will and the directive will of God as believers. See, this is something I've taught all these years. God has a geographical will for you. Don't violate it. Run it off somewhere. He has a directive will for you. Now, some of you were born right into it. Others had to travel to get to it. So what? In verse 23, God is able to accomplish this, bringing Israel through the most tumultuous period of her history, the 70th week. Note Jeremiah 37. Alas, for the day is great. There's none like it. The day does not refer to 24 hours. It refers to the day of the Lord. It refers to that part of it. It is great. Actually, technically, the day of the Lord is technical for everything from the rapture all the way through the trib, all the way through the millennium, so forth. That's the day of the Lord. Through the Gog and Magog event, through the dissolution of the present creation, and with the new creation, it's the day of God, eternity. Technical. Under the doctrine of days, the word is used in different ways. For all this to transpire and Israel once again take center stage, the church must be removed from the earth. This might be called the Great Reset. And so that's the full cycle on this thing. And I am going to give you a short Bible class today. I know you will object. But you will survive, and because if I just get into this a little bit, then I'll have to go back. So I'm the authority. I'll do what I want to. Thank you, Father.